Welcome to Michigan Sunrise Side today. I'm Kevin Allen, and once again, we are continuing our series in the Adopt-A-Farm segments through the Michigan Farm Bureau. And today, we're going to talk to a name that's probably very familiar to a lot of folks in the area. We're going to talk to the Shikas, Joe and Sharon. How are you?
We're great.
Fine, thank you.
Glad to have you on the program. Now, you know, we were talking before we went on. You guys, this has been a family-owned business for a long, long time, right?
Yes. When I was a teenager, my father and I cleared the land and planted most of the berries that are still bushes that are still out there.
Yeah. Now,
this was in the early 1950s.
I was going to say. So we're talking what, 60 plus years then, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's terrific. It's been a labor of love for you for those 60 some odd years.
Well, not really. I was farm labor, and
right.
I didn't really have any interest in farming.
Yeah.
And I went on to my career and other things. And then when Dad died, we came back and took care of the farm to keep it in the family.
All right.
His sisters appointed us.
Yeah.
To keep it in the family.
Now, how long then have you guys been running it?
About 11 years.
11
now.
Years now. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how much work goes into it? I know people come out there and they pick the berries, but is it a year round job for you?
Oh, it is very much a year round job. In the wintertime, we do the pruning, and then there's maintenance of the fields until we get to the harvest time, which is usually in August.
Now, tell us a little bit about the pruning that goes on. Now, I think most people figure nothing changes through the wintertime, but you prune through the winter. Why is that?
Well, that's when the bushes are dormant, and that's the time to prune. We don't prune when we're below 20 degrees,
okay.
Just for the health of the bushes. But other than that, we're out there pruning, and we can only manage to prune about a third of the bushes a year.
Okay. Now, it's a family-owned and operated. Do you have more involved with when it comes to the pruning and then the operation during the season?
Family comes for opening.
Okay.
Opening is huge. We figured 1 year, estimated, we had 3,000 people through there on that opening weekend. So family comes and helps us with that. Otherwise, they did the first year we were up here help with pruning.
Okay.
But they haven't since then. Basically. Also on pruning, we prune in the wintertime because there are no leaves. We prune at ground level.
I see.
And when the leaves are on the bushes, you can't see where to prune.
All right. Now,
so it's a practical thing as well.
Yeah. Now, do the winters affect the crop at all? Like some of the other crops we hear about now, if the winters are really bad, is there a difference in the blueberry or than the berry crops?
Well, what affects us most is the weather in the spring and the summer.
Okay.
The berries, the bushes are very hardy, and so they survive the winter fairly well. It's just the amount of moisture, amount of heat, or the warmth of the days that affect us more than the winters.
Since those bushes have been there so long, they've had a lot of winters to make it through.
Well, we were talking about the variety of the bushes there, right?
Their name is Northlands.
Northlands.
Yeah, the Northland variety is one of the early varieties that Michigan State University started developing. And they're fairly closely related to wild blueberries, so they have more of an intense flavor than some later varieties.
All right. Now, we talked about pruning in the winter. What about now at this time of year, the spring and into the summer, as you mentioned, the things start picking up a little bit before you get to what is the official opening?
Yes, that's right. We still prune as late as we can.
We're still pruning
now, as a matter of fact.
All right.
And then comes field maintenance.
Oh, okay.
Lots of mowing. We mow in between all those aisles, and when the bushes get heavy with fruit and hang over into the aisles, then it's weed whacking time. And that's brutal.
That's brutal.
Yeah. You can't get the mowers in, so
oh, okay, sure.
Do it by hand with the weed whackers.
All right. Now, when does the season officially open? Roughly. I mean, I know
well,
it,
that depends. That depends entirely on the weather, but mostly it's in first week or two of August.
And then, how long does that season go?
Average is 23 days.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
They're picking basically off of one variety, the Northlands.
All right.
There is another variety out there, and last year we started picking off of them. But with the Northlands, it's one variety, and for them to last an average of 23 days. They last as long as 6 weeks, but and as short as 2 weeks.
No kidding. Wow.
I'm totally dependent upon Mother Nature for opening, and then the size of the crop, the weather. Then for how long the season lasts, it determines also on the picking pressure.
Okay.
How many people pick how many berries.
All right.
When they're gone, they're gone.
So it really is, as compared to some other crops where you can do some engineering, this is really based on what Mother Nature does for you.
That's correct.
Yeah. And we don't irrigate.
Okay.
So we're at that mercy.
All right. Now, what about right after the season ends then? Is there still berries? Do you still have some out there, or are you pretty
much
picked
clean? Depends on the year.
Okay.
Last year, because we opened late, because it was such a cool summer, we opened August 16th last year.
Yeah.
And we even stayed open a week later than we would have stayed open. We still had berries left. But 2 years before that, we didn't have any berries left. They were gone.
Gone. Wow. Well, people love them.
It depends on a lot of things. Farming is really high risk, and just don't know.
Exactly. Now, how much, you mentioned that, you were raised on that farm, and then you went off to another position. Now, how much did you have to put into learning the agriculture of blueberries?
Well, when I was a teenager, I just did what Dad said.
Dad said, all right.
But coming back, we had a fairly steep learning curve.
Yeah.
Almost straight up and down.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, my wife is a biologist, so that helped tremendously.
Okay.
But we fortunately had the extension MSU extension office that helped us through that tough period.
All right, very good. Well, of course, let's talk a little bit about your involvement with the Michigan Farm Bureau. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with them.
Well, first of all, we went to the Farm Bureau because we wanted to buy the insurance for the farm through them.
As your dad had.
Yeah, my dad had it there. And then they keep us informed pretty much through their publications what's happening in the farm industry in general, on both statewide and nationally, as well as our industry, our blueberry industry, through their publications.
All right. And is that a pretty big industry, the blueberry industry? Are you guys a rarity in there?
We're isolated here along the Lake Michigan shore, and especially this far north.
Yeah.
But it's huge over in southwest Michigan. Grand Haven, South Haven, all those places over there. It's huge.
Yeah.
Michigan is has been the top blueberry producer state in the nation.
Right.
Washington and Oregon are now crowding us.
Oh, okay.
And Georgia has a very thriving blueberry industry.
Okay.
It's a wholly different variety.
Okay. So we're lucky to have you here then. You're a jewel for us then
well,
to have this in our backyard. Yeah.
We're isolated.
Yeah, exactly. But now you were talking before we went on, Sharon, that you've done some things with Michigan Farm Bureau too. In fact, legislatively you've worked with
Sonia Novotny is our area rep for a lot of counties.
Yeah.
This far north with low population densities. Any of these places, Farm Bureau, Michigan State University Extension, et cetera. They cover a lot of counties. But Sonia, Farm Bureau has been heavy in the legislative issue of funding for MEEP, the Michigan Agricultural Environmental Assurance Program, for farmers to get farmers to protect the environment, and also then gives us some liability. We are MEEP verified. We got MEEP verified last summer. But the bill that did the majority of the funding for MEEP was due to sunset this December. And Farm Bureau, as well as the Michigan Association of Conservation Districts and some others, have been heavy into following the legislation. And Sonia took a couple of us down to the hearings on, it was both the House and the Senate Sub-Appropriations Committee meeting in, I think it was early April, late March. And we sat in on those hearings. And Michigan Farm Bureau had two people, Matt and Lori, who, that's their job. They follow all this. They were very, very good. So Michigan Farm Bureau looks out for things that are important to farmers.
Very good.
And as Joe said, keeps us informed as long as we read our emails and click on the links.
Well, it sounds like you're busy enough to miss a few of those. But
We try to follow them.
Yeah, well,
they do a good job. Michigan Farm Bureau and national.
Yeah.
That's one of their big jobs is to follow these.
They are. And not just with the Berry Farm and not just with the Michigan Farm Bureau, but you guys are involved in a lot of other community things, aren't you?
Yes.
We are.
Yeah, right. Joe, what are you in?
Well, I'm currently with the Heritage Coast Sailing and Rowing. We're making wooden boats. And we did put on the Offshore Grand Prix a couple of years ago for 2 years. And I'm also in the local band, the Taos Community Concert Band.
Yes, you are. Yeah. They've been trying to get me into that, but I don't want to bring down the quality of that band. So. So I keep away from
that.
Not
to worry.
There you go. And Sharon, what else do you do?
I'm on the board of directors for the IOSCO Conservation District, and I've been kind of head of identifying the trees on the Alabaster Bike Path National Native Tree Arboretum. We named ourselves Native Tree Arboretum.
There you go. All right, so you guys keep
busy. And a master gardener.
A master gardener, too. Well, you would almost have to be, wouldn't you, with the berry farm there?
That's how we got started in master gardener.
There you go.
Actually, to learn about part of our learning curve on the blueberries. Well, he was, too, but he's dropped now.
All right, before I let you go, for people who are not familiar, where is Chica's Berry Farm located? We better tell people where that is.
Well, we're 3 miles south of the Taos River, where US 23 crosses the Taos River. And it's off to the left, to the west, about 3 miles south of off of 23 on Leggett Road.
And there are the blue Michigan logo, Pure Michigan signs.
Right.
On US 23, there's one as you're heading north and one as you're heading south. And you turn where they turn, people are used to those. I would mention Mother Nature determines when the berries are ripe, and people need to check our website, Taos Blueberries, www.taosblueberries.com,
okay,
to see about opening and other announcements.
Very good. Boy, it's been very informative. I know I was there once on the US 23 tour, and I learned some things there. But Chica's Berry Farm, Joe and Sharon, hey, I appreciate your time today as a part of our Adopt-A-Farm series with Michigan Farm Bureau. And hopefully, it'll be a great season for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.